That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to Daily Pop. You guys know who I am. It's Nina Parker. Carissa is out today, okay? So it's just Morgan, Justin, and I. We're going to all hold it down. We're matching. You know, we got a whole theme going on. So we got a lot to talk about, you guys. So if you thought that Claire actually blew up The Bachelorette, wait until you hear what Trista Sutter is saying, okay? Because the OG Bachelorette claims producers created storylines for her televised wedding to Ryan Setter back in 2003. So Trista actually spilled all of the tea on the Lady Gang podcast. You got to listen to this.
At our wedding, maybe actually it was at our bachelorette party, one of the producers left their binder out. One of the people who was at the bachelorette party picked it up and gave it to us. And it had like their characters, like the storylines for every person. And they had, you know, all of their bios and, you know, probably some stuff that they interviewed about. Mm-hmm. And then I think they had like titles, like maybe like the villain or the sweetheart or the,
oh my God,
you know?
Okay. I'm probably surprised. The Bachelorette is scripted. Are you guys surprised that the show is this produced?
Nina, no, you set it off right.
I actually really think that when contestants go in to audition for a show, you know, they sometimes go in and think, okay, what box am I going to check?
Right.
Am I going to be the virgin? Am I going to be the bad bitch? Am I going to be this? Am I going to be that? And you go in and you present yourself that way. Mm-hmm. So you can't be mad that producers put you in that box because you kind of opened it up for them.
I mean,
well, I think people... Yeah, thank you, Nina. We're all kind of thinking the same thing. First of all, the fact that this is 2003, this is even before, like, the reality television, you know, story format, like, you know, recipe was already laid out for people. So people didn't even really have, like, a cheat sheet. You're such a... I feel like people now try to kind of form in those boxes so they have, like, a likelihood of getting hired.
Right.
I think back then, everything was so new. Producers were still figuring things out. But, like, what you said, Nina, like... Of course, they needed to ensure that they were going to have a good show. They couldn't just rely on people to, like, you know, be stuck to their own devices.
If you go to the Ivy restaurant, paparazzi might be outside. I mean, welcome to LA.
Come on.
By the way.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
By the way.
You know, I'm sad that you found the binder, but it's like, what, it's television and they need a climax. Because have you guys ever seen the reality shows that come in and go in like 6 months because nobody's watching because
100%.
It's extremely boring? That's why they overproduce. And sometimes they overproduce knowing it won't happen. There's a lot of just in case things to throw in there, just in case everybody doesn't want to drink and wants to sit around and stare at each other.
Yes.
Because nobody's 100%. Watching that.
Nobody's watching.
You know, I mean, listen. So let me ask you this. If you're on the show, how much do you think that you have to go along with what the producers want? So do you think that this is a must that you follow it? Morgan?
Well, Justin, you were there with me. I feel like it really depends on your relationship with the producers and how much you're willing to give. Like, if you're willing to give a lot all the time and then they finally kind of cross a line where you're like, listen, I've given you everything. I've been on time. I've done all the stuff. This is too far. People back off. So I do think that there's a way to work with people. I mean, they can't make you do anything. They put pressure on you. They want you to do it, but they can't actually make you do it. But I do think they have a way of manipulating you into feeling like it's kind of your job. So it's a kind of a give and take.
Yeah. But I feel like once you play into that role once,
right,
you're kind of screwed. That's it.
Yeah.
Once you play into it once, once you take that direction one time.
Like you.
Like you. Like, no, for sure, no, 100%.
Like you. Like you're a little crazy. Now you got to stay crazy.
I'm the gay, drunk, you know, crazy one on this show. I played into that for one day too many, and now I'm just the alcoholic who sits here and says crazy things.
Except conservative.
And that happens in, like, in general. Like, sometimes, you know how, like, one day you have a bad day, and now all of a sudden you're cranky, or all of a sudden people think you're one way. So I feel like if it's caught on tape, then everybody paints you with something when you're like, I was just having a bad day.
Yeah, but that's how it works in any industry. If you walk into an office and you're the bubbly girl who's like, oh my God, yes, and you come in and you're not that bubbly, people are like, wait, hold on, hold on.
It's so true. Well, you guys, Trista actually went on to say that she thinks the show has lost its innocence and the only way to get back to its roots is by plucking someone from obscurity and stop recycling people from the previous show. So do you guys think that the show's Bachelorette, Bachelor, do you think that they just need new blood completely? They do recycle a lot of the same people.
I want to see all the old hoes come back. I want to,
You want the old hoes.
You know, because you know what happens? Sometimes you get a new person and it takes them about 6 or 7 weeks to get used to the cameras and to get down and dirty. Like, if you were in Bachelor Nation and you were in Bachelor in Paradise, 9 times out of 10, you're not afraid to get freaky deaky on a camera.
You guys, these days, they don't make reality stars like they used to. Mm-mm. And a lot of people that want to be famous have, like, almost like a shtick, right?
Yes.
I feel like those old school people like New York.
Yes.
You know what I mean? People like Tanisha from Bad Girls Club. Mm-hmm. You have these people who were just stand out, and they were genuinely, like,
crazy.
Outrageous. You know, people like a Morgan Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nina. I appreciate you throwing me in that. But I agree. I also think that, like, obviously back to her point, like, 2003, like, of course it's lost its innocence. It's turned into this, like, massive, massive franchise. Like, it's not going to operate the way it did when they were on.
And it's easy for her to say, too. She's in this completely stable relationship.
Right.
She's a mom. She's chilling. Like, I feel like everything is a little crazy to Trista at this point. She's kept her innocence, hasn't she?
But also her NDA is up. Like, she ain't got to keep the secrets no more, boo. She ain't got to keep no secrets. That NDA is gone,
that's very
gone,
true.
Boo.
Well, somebody who is still under NDA, let's talk about Taisha, because her first big Bachelorette episode airs tonight on ABC. And I actually am not a big fan of the show, but I'm really looking forward to this because 16 guys are left after Claire's quick exit. She was grand opening, grand closing, honey.
Mm-mm.
And Carissa spoke with Taisha, and she did ask her if she did any research on the men beforehand.
These guys' names were already out.
Yes.
So be real. You Googled them, right? Before?
I Googled the men when they were announced for Claire.
Right.
So I looked at them once, and that was months prior, before COVID and all that kind of stuff. So, and I hadn't looked at them since, and I didn't want to look at them. So I was surprised.
You ain't nothing but a lie.
Stop lying, sis.
Am I that naive?
I believe
that she definitely Googled them when she first found out who they were. And then I could also see in a world, because I would actually do this and be like, okay, I'm not going to revisit because I definitely do want to go in with, like, an open mind. No?
I just think it's natural. Okay. She said that she Googled them once or, you know, at the very beginning, and she kind of was familiar, and then she just never revisited it. I don't know if I buy that, because I know I wouldn't be able to stop myself. Justin, I know you would have probably had their fingerprints.
Oh, girl, I would have had credit checks. You would have had police reports. It's like telling somebody, hey, don't look at the election results until the inauguration. Like, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
But what I will say is, if I was Taisha going into this, you know, thing, I would say, okay, run me those 9 dudes back that Claire might not have wanted, because I might want to take a crack at them.
And also, just because you've Googled someone does not mean you know them. You're going to get familiar with what they are presenting to the world. But how many times have we, you know, met a guy, gone on his social media, and then we go out with them and it's a completely different situation? It was not what we expected. They were hiding things. So you Googling somebody or searching them or lurking them doesn't mean you know them. So there's still a fair chance.
Yep.
You don't pick
very
up the
true.
Hotline?
Pick up the hotline.
What?
Yeah, if you see somebody that you know that has a mutual friend that likes 4 of their photos, you get on the hotline and you ask for the in-person peer review.
Nina,
you can't keep up.
The conversation is coming with him in a second.
Am I lying?
You can't keep up. You can't keep up. I no longer. I feel like there's ways to get information on people easily. I will say that.
100%.
Yeah, that's true. That, I mean, especially in places where I feel like this, you're in similar circles. I do think that's possible. But sometimes you don't have mutual friends. And in that case.
Oh, by the way, but I have a friend who knows a friend who knows a friend who's going to call somebody in Denver and let me know about something that happened in 1999. Oh, my God. I don't stop, boo. I'm MCI. I'm connecting.
That's a whole
Let's move on, shall we?
Thank you.
We can't get into this intricate web that he will weave for all of us, okay?
100%.
So let me ask you guys this. Have you ever asked your coworkers how much money they make? This is going to get interesting, child. Okay, so Viola Davis is on the cover of December's In Style magazine, and she admits that in Hollywood, actresses do not share their salary with each other, and she thinks that the reason is, quote, ego, because you don't want people to know that you make less than what they think you make. Another part of it is etiquette. So Viola says, we need solidarity on this issue, and, quote, if we don't move forward together, then we don't move forward. So, do you talk to your coworkers about how much money you make, or do you think that this could be potentially dangerous?
Well, where was Viola when I signed that Space Jam contract back in March, Viola? Why didn't you say it back then? You know, I actually don't need to ask my coworkers their salaries because I see the Range Rovers and the new Mercedes parked outside. Meanwhile, I'm driving a Honda Civic.
By the way, he's not driving a Honda Civic. He's so full of shit.
I'm gonna put your business on blast, but you live a very nice lifestyle.
Morgan always does this. I'm glad that you're there to set that straight. This is not correct. He does not drive a Honda Civic, which if you do, it's completely fine, by the way, but he does not. Okay.
Listen, to get back to the issue, though, you guys, I do feel like we're kind of entering a new place, right, where we know that there's been a lot of wage disparity between men, between women, between women of color. So I do think that we're entering a place where people are getting more comfortable to do this. A lot of us are not there yet, though.
I hope you guys are there.
I'll play some hot and cold.
Oh, my God.
I'll be like, you're getting warmer, but I don't know if I'm telling you the whole thing yet.
Well, let's play it at the commercial break.
On that note, let's move on, all right? Because still ahead, the surprising new twist in Dancing with the Stars drama, why some people are asking if Carrie Ann's scores last night were really real. Plus, Atlanta housewife Cynthia Bailey gets really real about her wild bachelorette party and how she feels about NeNe not showing up to her wedding. You guys stay here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. So listen, the drama continues on ABC's Dancing with the Stars. It's really juicy this season. So last week, Carrie Ann Inaba got slammed over how she was judging Caitlin Bristowe and her partner Artem. But this week, it looks like she magically changed her tune.
I know it's been a rough couple of weeks, but I have to say, like, I just got to give you the standing because that was incredible. Look. We push you because we want you to reach your ultimate. Everything that we've been wanting from you was in this routine. Beautiful job!
All right, so Carrie Ann gave Caitlin and Artem a 10. So the other judges actually gave them a 10 too, so they really got great scores. Do you think this was a genuine score from her, or do you think that she was actually forced to kind of lean this direction because of all of the backlash that she was getting?
I love last week when Carrie Ann Inaba was like, it doesn't matter what you guys say about me. I'm not going to be bullied into judging people the way you want me to. I am the one that goes for the jugular. I'm the one that puts it out there. It has nothing to do with any of my... The second there was some serious heat, the second we talked about it, she's all of a sudden standing up. I would have at least given it a few, at least two more episodes. I mean, look, there's a chance that they obviously did an incredible performance, so I'm not knocking that. But I think that she had given performances before that were good, and that was the whole issue, that they felt like Carrie Ann was unfairly kind of docking points. So I just think the timing on this is just a little like, come on, girl. Like, wait a little bit.
100%.
A little funny for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little, you know, fun fact. Black Twitter has never watched this show until Nelly came on. So this is Carrie Ann's first run in with Black Twitter. And because the election went the way Black Twitter wanted, Black Twitter had time.
And some white Twitter.
I'm telling you, Black Twitter got in on this.
I don't know hope that's accurate.
Black Twitter used all 140 characters and came for that ass.
I don't know if this is an accurate depiction of Black Twitter.
I have been watching it, and Black Twitter came for her. She couldn't handle
anymore.
She couldn't handle it.
I kind of agree with you guys. I think Carrie is an amazing person, and I think she might have been feeling a little guilty, and so she might have been more lenient this time, or they could have just really deserved it.
Yeah, but she was damned if she did and damned if she didn't.
That's
because
true.
If she would have gave them a lower score, they would have said, oh my God, you're still doing this. So when people are looking for something, some kind of drama, they're going to find it. And let's be honest, ABC was all about this. They were probably pushing this narrative. It brought eyeballs. Morgan doesn't watch this. She started watching it because of that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't watch either. This has been quite the season.
Yeah, I mean, I've stopped watching, but I've never watched an episode of Dancing with the Stars this season. I've tuned in.
and watch next year when she's on it. She's going to be like, oh my God, I watch every year. I watch every year. It's my favorite show. I just really love that Carrie Ananaba.
Yeah, we need a Dancing with the Stars E edition. I'd be here for that. All right. Well, you know, you're right. She's damned if she do, damned if she doesn't. So let's move on to something a little bit more young. How about that? Because we want to talk about Blue Ivy Carter, of course, Beyonce and Jay-Z's daughter. She is already hard at work. She is 8 years old and voicing the audio version of the children's book Hair Love, based off of the Oscar-winning short film. You guys got to listen to this.
Dreamscape presents Hair Love by Matthew A. Cherry, narrated by Blue Ivy Carter.
Oh, I cannot with this voice. How cute is she? All right, so congratulations to everybody involved, including Matthew. I know him, and this is well-deserved. For those who don't know, this all started as like a Kickstarter campaign to raise money, and now it's Oscar-winning, and Blue Ivy is voicing this, so this is big ups to him. Some are speculating that it could land Blue a Grammy nomination for spoken word, and in case you forgot, she already has a BET award and an NAACP Image Award under her belt, so this award shelf is already starting. Are you guys surprised that at Blue Ivy, already working, putting in the work, and are you excited to see what she does next?
Look, not at all. Beyonce was like, Matthew put me on that stage at 6 years old, so you got some catching up to do, young lady. You got some catching up to do. But I love that Beyonce kind of, sort of, and, you know, Jay-Z probably too, but I know Beyonce's a stage mom, that she picked a project that Blue could take on and feel easy and comfortable with, because I had heard rumors that when, you know, Disney was talking about Lion King, they were talking about bringing on Blue Ivy as young Nala. Now, for your first project, that could be overwhelming. That could be a lot. So I think it's smart that Beyonce was like, look, you can record this in your 4,000 square foot room, and Nanny Faye can help you out with this. So you could do this.
Yeah. Morgan, are you surprised you're going to be putting your daughter to work this soon?
Oh, well, it depends how cute she is. No, I'm kidding. Probably not. Listen. It depends. It really depends. I'm not surprised that this is happening. I feel like mom and dad are the perfect people to kind of get her in the door with this stuff. And I think what Justin said is completely accurate. It's like, it was the perfect project for her to take on. It wasn't overwhelming. She could do it. I think it's great. And I definitely think it's not going to be the last time that we hear from her.
Right. I mean, I feel like this is just starting a tradition of win after win after win. And I think she has the perfect parents to keep her in line, to keep her grounded. Mm-hmm. You know, she also has siblings, so she can set an example for the twins. So I'm kind of excited to see this legacy begin.
100%.
Yeah. All right, guys, up next, Johnny Depp is speaking out on his legal drama, but is his career over? And is he really keeping millions after resigning from Fantastic Beasts? We're going to debate all of that after the break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So Johnny Depp was forced out of the Fantastic Beasts franchise, but he still gets a huge payday. So he shared on Instagram that he agreed to the studio's request to leave and addressed claims that he abused his ex-wife, Amber Heard. He wrote, "I intend to prove that the allegations against me are false. My life and career will not be defined by this moment in time." So this comes after Johnny lost a libel case against The Sun, which is a UK tabloid that accused him of beating his wife. Now, Johnny says he's going to appeal that decision. Warner Brothers released a statement thanking Johnny for his work and saying, in part, Fantastic Beasts 3 is currently in production and the role will be recast. So, according to The Hollywood Reporter, Warner Brothers will still have to pay his full salary. Mm-hmm. So, since Johnny was technically not fired, is this fair? And I need you to know that full salary is being talked about, being allegedly about $10 million.
Oh, I'm not surprised by that whatsoever. I feel like with Johnny Depp, he's been innocent until proven guilty, and this has been going on for so long. This is sort of the first time that a judge has ruled against him and that he's actually been penalized and well, I guess depends how you look at it because he still gets to keep the money. But obviously, he's proven his worth in terms of box office success, and the studio gave him a contract that he's used to, which is basically like, whether the film gets made or does not get made, you get paid. So, you know, the judge did this. He ruled against him. That now they have taken a step away from Johnny. But, like, because of that contract, you know, he's going to get paid for this. But I just think the ripple effect is going to be after this. Like, 100%. I don't know if it's going to be such smooth sailing for him moving forward.
Hats off to Johnny's lawyers who worked that deal, honey, because that is a great deal. But I think what people forget is it's all about money in Hollywood. And when all this broke out, Johnny Depp was premiering Alice Through the Looking Glass. I don't know if you guys remember this. In 2016.
Yeah, wow, it was so long ago. Yeah.
It was supposed to be a really huge movie because the first Alice in Wonderland made over $1
billion. I don't even really remember the second.
The second one only made $299 million, which is still a lot of money, but it's not $1 billion.
Right.
Then you had the new Pirates of the Caribbean that came, you know, only a year later, and it only made, you know, $70 million less than what the first one, the one before it did. So when you're Warner Brothers, you're like, okay, $10 million is nothing compared to what this drama could do. And we also had heard that Johnny Depp wasn't on his A game.
Right.
Like, he was kind of allegedly slurring his words and was drunk on set on another movie. And there was, you know, all this pushback and all these rumors. So if you're Warner Brothers, you kind of got out with a steal with $10 million.
Yeah, I'm just curious, you know, beyond all of that, when I feel like if someone is forced to resign, I feel like it's very rare that we hear that the person gets to keep their whole entire paycheck. And I wonder if this was a woman, you know, would she be able to keep her whole entire paycheck? I rarely hear of somebody getting pushed out of a film for controversy that could in part be due to their behavior and they still get to keep this paycheck. To me, that sounds like a whole lot of privilege.
Ooh.
Just saying. All right. We got to wrap it up on that, guys, and take a break. But coming up,
Isaiah,
does what happens at a bachelorette party stay at the bachelorette party? Cynthia Bailey is here to talk sex and strippers. That's next.
I didn't say it.
All right, so let's talk about John Gosling, who has admitted that it's been years since he's seen most of his kids. So I got to bring you guys up to speed. So John has custody of two of the children, Colin and Hannah. Now his ex-wife, Kate, has custody of their six other children. So he went on Dr. Oz's show and revealed just how bad things have gotten.
So John, when was the last time you spoke to your other six kids?
2 years ago.
Why don't you have a connection with
parent them? Alienation and now sibling alienation because now they're shunning Hannah and Colin.
Why?
Mom's intervening. And now her house is listed. And she didn't even notify Hannah that she was moving.
Oh boy. All right. So John accuses Kate of being the problem, but is he making things worse by airing out their dirty laundry on television?
Look.
This whole thing stays a mess. It's a mess. It's been a mess. A mess.
Before you guys jump in and judge, let me just say one thing, because I know a lot of people are thinking, oh my God, again, these people, why does it not stop?
I'm people.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
So to you and those who think like Nina, when John and Kate Plus 8 came on air, it was 2007, and they were kind of sort of the first family to enter into that kind of, we're going to follow your family through this whole drama and genre. And that was before they had psych tests. That was before that they were giving families resources on how to deal with the fame and how to deal with the changing dynamics in their lives. So I feel like John and Kate were kind of hung out there to dry. John and Kate were kind of sort of the experiment. And it's almost like when people have like multiple kids, the first one always is like, we're going to test everything out on him.
Yeah.
And then we're going to learn from them and kind of trickle down. So I kind of sort of have this soft spot for
you
them.
You do?
I do. I really do.
Oh, well,
for all of
it. Well, have it for all of us, because I don't.
I don't either.
Really bad.
It's just a weird situation, but I think him going on Dr. Oz, I don't think there's an angel on either side, but I do think when you go on television to talk about things, it just never ends well.
Agreed.
It never ends well.
But if you and I got in a fight
in
our private lives, you're going to go in. No, I know you're going to go in. I already know that. But if you take it to the news and the media,
you'd be upset.
I would be upset, but I would also feel like I had the right and I would have the obligation to fight fire with fire and be on air and talking about this publicly. You can't shame me publicly and think I'm going to respond privately.
Justin, if you and I had kids, you would do that with the babies in the middle?
Yes, I would want it on record. Okay, I'm not the worst thing in the world.
He would not do that.
He is so full of it.
I would be on Montel in 2 seconds.
Don't listen to his lies.
I'm out of retirement.
You know what? Let's talk about something we can agree on. Let's talk about Cynthia Bailey. Let's move on from this. Let's talk about the Atlanta housewife and her bachelorette party.
She just came on and told Carissa and I about all that happened at that bachelorette party and how she feels about NeNe not being at her wedding. Take a look.
Welcome to Daily Pop, Cynthia Bailey, or actually, should we call you Mrs. Mike Hill now?
Cynthia Bailey Hill. Yes. Thank you.
Well, you looked absolutely breathtaking on your big day. I was there to witness it, but I have to ask you, what was your favorite moment of the night?
My favorite moment was Mike and I doing our vows, hands down. He came with the most beautiful vows that he wrote. I pretty much just wrote down a couple of bullet points and just winged it, but I came from just such an honest place. It just ended up, you know, just working out perfectly. And I think for a lot of our guests, that was their favorite moment as well.
Aw, so sweet. Justin told us all the links you went to make sure this was like a safe event for everybody. What would be your advice to someone trying to plan a safe wedding during COVID?
To just make sure that they do everything on their end. You know, at the end of the day, you can't force your guests to, you know, get tested, even if you encourage it. You can't, you know, force them to keep a mask on. However, just do your due diligence. You know, for us, we had continuous updates throughout leading up to the wedding. It was not a hostage situation where you had to come to this wedding.
I just want to marry my man. And if that looks like everyone turning up in astronaut suits, so be it.
Now, as a bridesmaid, I was supposed to be invited to everything. And as upset as I was about not coming to the bachelorette party, I'm kind of happy I didn't go because it looks like this is going to be the topic of conversation come December 6th.
What happens in the dungeon stays in the dungeon.
Are you nervous for Mike to see what went down at your bachelorette party?
A little bit. I will say, as the lady of the hour, I definitely got my complete life. And I let my husband know. I can tell you one thing. Candy bird sucker can throw a party, honey.
Did you get the blessing? Because it seems like two of the women allegedly got a big blessing at the end of the night.
I have a crush on you.
You have a crush on me?
Hold it. I
cannot confirm or deny anything that happened after Miss Bailey Hill went to bed, okay? But, you know,
like
apparently some things went down.
I'm hearing sex noises coming from a bedroom.
Yeah. So some things went down. Did that bother you at all?
No. Look, these are grown women. They can do whatever they want to do with whoever they want to do with it. It's not my business. If they like it, I love it.
It seems that you extended an invite to NeNe to be at the wedding, and she explained on IG why she didn't go.
I'm very happy for her. I wish them nothing but happiness. I'm in a different place in my life.
Absolutely.
Where I just didn't think going to her wedding was going to benefit me in any kind. Anyway.
Are you surprised that NeNe didn't come? And did you invite her as a courtesy, or did you really want her to show up?
I really would have loved for NeNe and Greg to have come to the wedding. NeNe actually met Mike before anyone did. And, you know, although we're not in the best place right now, I, I want to believe that regardless of that, she is happy for me and she's happy that I found Mike. And I really felt in my heart, it felt actually wrong not to extend the invite. Now, whether she chose to come or not, that's completely up to her. But I felt like I wanted to invite my old friend to be a part of my special day. And I was completely fine with whatever she was fine with.
Well, we have some more great news for you. The Real Housewives of Atlanta is nominated for the reality show of 2020 for E's People's Choice Awards. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. Well, it means that we are very entertaining. We should be nominated. You know, we, at this point, season 13 will not be a disappointment. Incredibly proud to be a part of this ensemble cast, to bring you guys this good entertainment and share our lives with you guys. I've been doing it for, this is what, my 12th season at this point? I can't even wow. keep up. I've been over here for so long, but I'm proud. I'm proud to be a part of this group of women who keep you guys so entertained.
Well, before we go, we want to play a little game called Cynthia's Choice. Ooh. And Cynthia, you have to choose who was your favorite bridesmaid from the wedding.
Well, let me think. Now, Justin, you know I cannot pick a favorite, but I will say you were my favorite male bridesmaid. You were my favorite male bridesmaid.
I'll take that. I made myself a bouquet before I walked down.
You're my favorite in everything. We were on the phone constantly during this whole time.
Oh, my God.
All the tea.
And by the way, I got so lit at that wedding.
Did you?
I'm like, ooh, where was that picture taken?
All right, you guys, don't miss the E! People's Choice Awards Sunday night at 9 p.m. right here on E! Coming up, looking for the perfect holiday gift that won't break the bank. We've got some incredible deals for you, up to 60% off. Plus, the big secret Reba McEntire and Darius Rucker just dropped about Miranda Lambert. We'll be right back.
It is never too early to start thinking about that holiday gift list, and our team has been putting in the work to hook you guys up with some insane discounts. Now, Carissa and I joined forces for the first of many shoppable segments we're calling What's the Deal?
There is no doubt the holidays will be very different this year. There will be less traveling, smaller gatherings, and more time at home.
Uh-huh. And thanks to our partner, PayPal, you can still create great holiday moments by making the most of being virtually together. And one way to do this is to transform your home into your own personal sanctuary. Yes. To achieve total relaxation.
Right, but the first step in that process is you gotta dress the part.
Yes.
Pour La Femme, you guys, was created by actor and activist Robin Wright, along with her friend and designer Karen Fowler. Now this brand, if you haven't heard of it yet, it is loved by celebrities.
All over the place. And now you can relax in style just like the stars, but for a lot less money.
Yes.
Thanks to some great deals we have for you guys. Now for a limited time, our Daily Pop viewers get an exclusive price on some of our favorite pieces from the line.
Yeah, you know it's all about comfort wear right now, so if you see something that you like, take out your phone, scan that code with your camera, and it'll take you to our shoppable page. Or if it's easier for you, you can always just go to eonline.com/shop. Okay, should we do this?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with this nightie because it's sexy and it's cute. It's a sleeveless Ooh. Cotton nightie, and I have to tell you, it's extremely soft. Now, this is absolutely timeless, but it's definitely not your grandma's wear. It's way too sexy for that. It's originally $115, but they're going to offer it for you for $50. That's almost 60%
wow.
off.
Now, for the boys, please don't worry. We have you covered too. This is a men's classic pajama set, and they come in a couple of options. Here we have the charcoal stripe and the classic 1950s vintage cream. I used to have pajamas that were in this pattern.
Oh, cute.
This gives me so much nostalgia. Now, I have to tell you guys, Pour La Femme hipped it up. For $205, they normally go for, but they are offering our viewers 40% off at $123. This is a great gift for your husbands.
Yeah. Okay, so make this part of your stay-at-home uniform, you guys. No pants required. This is that sexy look that, you know, that boyfriend t-shirt, sleep shirts that come in all varieties. You can have prints like stars, dots, and then they got the pretty palm trees over here.
Give me
you
the
can
palm
do
trees.
A little, all three retail for $180, but they're offering the stars and dots for around around $90. And then the palm one, you guys, that one they're going to give you for only $76.50. And if it's feeling a little too breezy down there, get the sleep shorts because they normally go for $98. But now 60% off at $39.
Oh, my God. If you don't do anything else in 2020, at least get this gauze robe. I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person who I like to put the heater on and the fireplace on, even when it's 95 degrees in December in California. This thing is so light, it's super breezy, it's so elegant, and can I say, it is sexy. You guys, this normally goes for $195, but they are taking $30 off.
Cool.
Get this for everyone you know. It is unreal.
Okay, so let's get to the classic pajama set, right? Everyone wants this. Everyone loves this. You guys know the holidays come around. People are taking pictures early in the mornings. You want to look cute. It has a single pocket. It comes with an adjustable drawstring, straight-legged pant. And any other time, you can buy this whole set for $205, but they're going to offer it to you, our Daily Pop viewers, for $123 right now. That is a big discount, and this is one that's going to photograph cute and be comfortable at the same time.
Oh my God. Well, I have its sister right over here. This is another stay-at-home staple. This is the cotton pajama set with the lace detail. Look right around the pocket. If you look on the cuff, if you look on the hem of both the top and the bottom, there's that beautiful little detail that you just can't miss. And let me ask you guys something. Have you ever slept in Egyptian cotton? Mm. Because if you haven't slept in Egyptian cotton, I don't think you're sleeping at all. This is so soft, so comfortable. And if you're hosting and not and you ate and, and you played all the games, you drank all the wine, this is what you get into to let everyone know it's time for you to go home.
It's time for you to go home.
You guys, originally $250. They're taking $50 off just for you. You gotta get it.
Okay, friends, pay attention because this is your last chance to scan that e-code. It is so easy. Take your phones out, open the camera app, and hover over this code. A link will automatically pop up for you to click on. It'll take you right to our website where you can shop all of these items.
Mm-hmm. And you can also shop safely from the comfort of your own home by heading over to eonline.com/shop. There you can also find more tips on how to turn your home into a sanctuary.
All right, that's it for our What's the Deal. Thank you so much to PayPal for making this happen. We hope this inspires you guys to get excited for the holidays.
I'm just excited to get this robe off this mannequin because I'm
mine.
Taking
I've
it
already
home.
Called that. I called that in the beginning.
I'm getting all my coins ready. I love that. Okay, so after the break, we are going country. Reba McEntire and Darius Rucker are sharing their wild plans for the CMAs. Plus, you have to hear what Reba is telling us about her new man. Stay with us.
Take a deep breath, ladies. This is for real. Miss USA 2020 is Mississippi.
Congratulations. Take your first walk as Miss USA 2020.
So that is the new Miss USA. It's Miss Mississippi, Asia Branch, who was crowned last night during the live broadcast from Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee.
Who looks like that?
I don't know. I don't
what's
know.
She doing, what's she it's, doing in her past life?
It's offensive. It's offensive.
I mean, they all look fantastic. I'm not going to lie.
No, but this girl, look at her.
What?
I mean, congratulations, girl, repping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So good for her. Well, you know, with COVID and everything, it's going to be interesting to see how she does her duties.
I know.
A lot of Zooms.
A lot of Zooms.
All right, let's get to our interview with music superstars Reba McEntire and Darius Rucker. So they're, I don't know why I added the S, you guys, but I like it, Darius Rucker.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
They're hosting the CMA Awards tomorrow night and calling out a few of their fellow country stars. Plus, Carissa had to get the details on Reba's man, who she calls her sugar tot.
Ooh, Reba.
Before we get into the CMAs, I got to ask you, Reba, you've been with your sugar tot during quarantine. How's it been going?
It's been going great. We're the tot, sugar and tater. Just having fun.
You're on a farm. You're starting this farming thing. How is it raising chickens?
Well, we kind of borrowed that chicken. That was my buddy Marcy Fletcher's chicken, her rooster. We were down visiting her in Knoxville. But we thought it'd make a cute Christmas card, so we're running with it.
You guys are teaming up to host the CMAs. I love this pairing. How did it come about?
You know, Reba's done it so many times, and you know, she's so great at it. And I got a phone call from our manager asking me if I wanted to host the CMAs, and You know, part of me thought he was kidding, but I know our manager and he doesn't kid. He doesn't kid. So I knew he was serious and I was truly blown away.
Country music's biggest night.
I think it's going to be a very special year. I mean, challenging for you guys. No live audience. Reba, you're so good at like going off the vibe of the audience. You've done this for so long. Are you nervous at all about not having a live audience?
Well, we will have people sitting around tables. Yes. Okay. We'll have the performers, the presenters. So we'll have people to talk to and visit with, perform to, and it will be our country music family. Aww. So it will be different, but we'll roll with it. You know what might have been for just plain white
track. Fancy word for my name. Well, we do know one thing.
What's
you two
that?
Are going to be singing together.
Yes.
And so I do want to hear a little bit more about that duet, whatever you can tell me. And I also am curious to know, in 2020 and all the social distancing protocols, how do you prepare for a duet nowadays?
Go ahead, Darius. Go ahead and tell her all about it.
Well, Reba and I will be singing a song together.
Oh, that's good.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be really special. And it's definitely going to be
a song. Together, we're going to sing together.
I just feel like there's like a select few artists out there that literally can just walk on stage and say, let's go. Like, don't even need to. And you two are definitely two of those artists.
Wow, I'm very flattered she's got that much faith in us.
She trusts us a lot more than I do. Oh, yeah. I trust me. I trust her. I don't trust me.
I'm with you on that.
I want to play a little CMA game. Who's most likely to cry during an acceptance speech?
Luke Combs.
Oh, of course, Luke Combs, yeah.
Who's most likely to fall during a performance?
Fall down?
Charles Kelly.
Ooh, Charles Kelly.
Who's most likely to accidentally curse?
Oh, Miranda.
Who's most likely to forget the words to their song?
Me, the old guy in the club.
That is quite the laugh, Darius. All right, still ahead, Ellen Pompeo on the early challenges of Grey's Anatomy. That's next.
The thing about acting is you get to do things that you would never normally get to do. You know, you find yourself in situations that you'd never get the chance to be in. So I think it's really fun and exciting.
You're an attending, and I'm your intern. Stop looking at me like that.
I just feel extremely grateful because, you know, you see how quickly they take these shows off the air, you know, and how hard actors work and writers and how hard everybody works to get these shows on the air. And then they get pulled so quickly, and to have this be so well received, I just, you know, have an immense amount of gratitude and feel very blessed and lucky and so grateful to the fans.
All right, now that's Ellen Pompeo back in her early Grey's Anatomy days. Today she celebrates her 51st birthday. Speaking of another birthday.
Right.
Somebody just came back from their little birthday celebration.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. You know, we chilled. My friend Jimmy Johnson raced his last race, so it was really good to, you know, celebrate with him.
Yeah.
And the stripper DM'd me, so I had a really good, I had a grand old birthday, y'all. Billy Rocks hit me up on Twitter.
Did
was
he
like,
really?
Let me come through.
Stop.
But, you know, it was really great, and all the well wishes were amazing.
Yeah,
and
everybody loves you.
Sometimes sitting down and just, like, reading that, it just feels great. And again, in lieu of birthday wishes, if you guys could just throw Al Roker, hey, I'm here with you and we standing with you, Al,
amen.
I would really appreciate
You're
that.
You're always thinking of somebody else
I
on your day,
Al
and
Roker.
That's why I love you. All right, guys, that is it for us today. Make sure that you watch the E! People's Choice Awards this weekend. The fun kicks off at 7 p.m. on Sunday with the E! Live from the red carpet. Then the show starts at 9 p.m. right here on E! You don't want to miss it. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.